I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network,
home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched The Last Voyage of the Demeter. The Last Voyage of the Demeter is a 2023 American supernatural horror film directed by Andre Ovredal and written by Bragi F. Schrutt Jr. and Zach Olkowitz, and is an adaptation of The Captain's Log, a chapter from the 1897 novel Dracula by Bram Stoker. It follows the crew of the merchant ship Demeter, who attempt to survive the ocean voyage from Carpathia to London as they are stalked each night by a merciless presence aboard the ship.
Otherwise known as a play by Sean Carney.
Yes.
Can I...
How do you feel that Hollywood ripped you off, man?
Can I say something to the room?
Yep.
Yep.
I'm a Ken doll. This movie blew my fucking dick off. I've lost it. I don't know where it is. I came into this with a great fear that this was probably going to be a piece of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the word on the street was...
World on the Street was not good. Sometimes when Stephen King rolls out a very favourable tweet, you go, oh no, it's probably not going to be good then.
Yeah, what was the other one he did? Oh, The Flash.
Yeah. Del Toro came out and praised it, but I think we all know in our heart he's a creature boy. He basically loves if you get out of bed and put 2 feet on the ground, he's given it 5 stars.
Yeah.
He wants you to win.
Yeah. This movie wins. It blew me away. I did not think, this is going to sound quite arrogant, because I do love my story that I came up with, didn't think I would get to the end of this movie and think that that was way superior to what I did.
Yeah.
And it is. It's incredible. I fucking
okay,
loved
wow.
it. I loved it. I'm considering 5 stars.
Can I just say, wow, yes, there were multiple points in the movie.
Oh, yeah, so for sure.
There were multiple points in the movie where I just sort of looked over towards Sean. And the way the lounge was configured, Damo, is his body was sort of blocked to you.
Yeah.
And using his shield of his body, he would look to me and just hold 5 fingers up.
Oh,
at least twice during the movie.
Yeah. And maybe the sort of very end parts pulled me back slightly. That I didn't like them. I still think it was pretty cool.
Which parts in particular?
I think probably when it did that thing that our mate Cass Page says where it switches from horror to an action film.
Yeah, yeah.
I think when we got to that point where it's like, all right, here's the plan. We're going to fuck him up now. Then maybe it slipped, but only ever slightly. I still loved it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to give it. It's a 4 minimum. It's up there. It's a strong 4. Could be a 5.
Much better than it should be.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be shit. I was so scared. I thought, what a wasted opportunity.
Yeah.
It's been in development hell for 15 fucking years.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been passed around with actors and directors. And Viggo Mortensen was going to be the captain at one point.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, my God.
But yeah, it got buried too. Like its release was released when Oppenheimer, Barbie, something else is out at the moment. Like,
Well, that's it. Like we had planned to see it at the cinema. I think we're like two or three weeks
out here.
Really. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I sort of desperately wanted to see it at the cinema.
I wish we had now.
Like, and then just couldn't because it disappeared.
Yeah. So I remember there was like, it had been out for a week or two.
Yeah.
And then
We were busy 1 week, but we were like, we'll go see it together next week.
I think it was coming out when we went away. That was its release.
We were up at our Skatey Boys retreat. Unfortunately, there's not a cinema where we go for our retreat.
By the time we came back, it was down to one session a day, and it was during the work week.
Yeah.
And it was at 2 o'clock in the
day. Yeah, because Sean, you said, there's only one session. I'm like, shit, we better get on it. You're like, no, mate, it's at 2 p.m.
So that was a bit disappointing. I went through the motions of it's probably for the best. Not to see the cinema. It would have let us down.
Yeah.
Nah, I would have fucking loved it.
Yeah.
Bring it back. Right in, they release it at Halloween.
Yeah.
Release it at a different time when there's a gap in horror.
They just wanted to offload it. It's curious because I do think this is a Sean Carney movie.
Yeah.
This is obviously you've literally written this movie and now you get to watch it on screen in this big epic thing. But I do think with the right marketing, this could have had an impact. Everyone knows the Dracula story. Yeah. And this is telling a section of the Dracula story we technically haven't seen before. I know there's sort of been a few different iterations that sort of include this part. But it's doing it on such a scope and such a scale and with so much fucking love of the craft that, it's really fucking impressive. Anyone who likes a period piece will love this. Anyone who likes a creature feature will love this. Anyone who likes gory fucked shit, guess what? This movie actually has it in fucking spades.
Oh, yeah. Anyone who likes Uggo actors who are fucking sweaty and dirty and getting fucked up. It's got it.
Our beautiful, ugly everyman.
Yep.
Oh. There are everyman as far as the eye can see.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's some sexy people in this.
Oh.
But there are also some people who just shouldn't have work outside of being dirty crew members on a fucking boat.
In the 1800s.
In the 1800s. Man, it was, to jump back to the craft of it all, it fucking, these sorts of movies can look like utter ass. So easily. And especially when it's gone through the ringer like this one has.
Yeah, especially this setting too, dark, stormy. It could have been incomprehensible to look at.
Yeah.
And this director, I can't remember the director's name, sorry. But
Andre
the fucking giant, so knocked it out of the park.
I didn't realize until I was just looking at who the director was while it was on. I'm like, I wonder who directed this.
Mm.
And I think you've seen it as well.
Yeah,
a film of his that we should do for this podcast called Troll Hunter.
Yeah.
Which is awesome, which again takes a myth story, and this is, he's obviously Scandi, so takes the Norwegian stories of trolls and things, and basically is a found footage film about a bunch of documentary makers who follow a troll hunter.
Is it found
footage? Yeah, it's cameras.
Huh. I in my memory, it's almost an action movie.
Oh, it's very action, but it was all filmed with handheld
cameras.
I
remember your review of it, because I was probably scared to watch it, and I read your review, and I went, oh, maybe I should check it out.
I think you would actually love it, mate.
Yeah, you'd dig it.
It's more action. This is horror, no doubt.
Yeah.
It is bordering on, is it horror?
It's a monster action-y Godzilla vibe.
Yeah, that sort of thing, kaiju sort of stuff.
The hook of this one that I heard a lot about was basically, it's Alien, but it's on a ship.
Yeah.
It's Dracula, which I think in itself is awesome.
Mm.
Give me more monsters on ships. Yeah, or monsters in a location where people are trapped, I think is fucking great. One thing I worried about, I didn't know if they were going to successfully nail the emotion of it, the heart of it, just because you don't know what sort of crew members you're going to be stuck with.
Yeah. You also know that, if you've read the book or seen Sean's play or any other sort of versions, you know what happens.
Yeah, we're in a no-survivors situation.
That's the greatest challenge for this story, I think. And I think, Sean, I think you did a masterful job with your play, I will 100%. Say. Just credit where it's due.
Thank you, sir.
In taking something that, well, we know the outcome, so how do we get there? And what this does really well is it doesn't ever completely extinguish hope, even though we know what happens to the boat.
It's clever in the way that it brings in characters, because if you've read the captain's log, there are characters introduced in this movie who are not mentioned or present in that. For instance, there's no mention of a woman on board in the captain's log.
Right.
So already when you meet that character, you go, well, maybe she'll survive.
Yeah.
I don't recall there being a mention of a child. So a big part of my heart was surely they're not going to kill him because they've already done the ultimate bastard cinema move and killed a dog.
Yes.
Yep. Showed us too much of the dog.
Oh, yeah. Really brutal.
Sweet Huckleberry, I think his name
was.
Yes,
it was. Huck. Come on. He was a good boy.
Yeah, he was a good boy. But yeah, no, it was smart in the way that it used its characters.
Yeah.
And Liam Cunningham,
who
we've seen this year in Dog Soldiers.
Yeah.
A young Liam Cunningham, right, Tom? 20 years ago, little baby face boy.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I wanted to point, this happened while we were watching the movie. I was like, man, he has such a young face in Dog Soldiers. And I got ripped for it because you're like, it was 20 years ago. I understand that. You know how some actors, even 20 years, Liam Neeson, for example, yes, he looks a bit older, but he's really from Qui-Gon, even a little bit before, he kind of looks.
It's Hollywood money, baby.
Yeah.
But Cunningham, he looked quite young when he was younger.
Right. Yeah, he's been playing characters who have, you know, are on boats. He's living a hard life.
He loves a salty sea boy. He loves a dirty, salty sea boy.
Yeah, he's born for it, man.
He's fantastic in this.
Yeah, yeah.
I wondered if he'd be too much of a hard ass, but immediately giving him a grandson.
And like, yeah, fantastic. And again, no, and he wasn't playing, I thought, again, for the heart that you mentioned, like, I was expecting, oh, he's going to be tough grandpa who has to find his heart throughout the course of this thing, the idea of losing grandson. Nah. So affectionate with his grandson. Yep. So clearly loves his grandson. Yep. Just wants the best for him. He's literally going to retire just to give him the best life possible.
Loves him to the point where he's like, I want him to have a nice thing. So we're gonna leave.
Yeah.
I give the boat to you, David Del Mashian.
Yeah.
We say his name wrong every time. He's a wonderful actor. He was in The Boogeyman.
Yeah.
He's got a juicier role in this.
He's pulling off some good stuff in this one.
Yeah. The facial acting.
Yeah.
It's off the charts. Yes. Him and Liam Cunningham. He's really fucking good in it.
Yeah.
Like, but even that thing, like, it would be so easy for the captain of the boat to be the captain of the boat.
Yeah, that's it.
When they play, Cunningham just gives him this real quiet empathy to him. Like,
humanity.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
He loves his grandson. He also loves his first mate.
Yeah.
He loves his crew. He loves this boat. That heartbreaking line when everything's falling apart and he turns to Wojciech and he says, you would have been a great captain.
Yes.
If only we'd made it to London.
Yeah.
And that's such a heartbreaking bit of dialogue.
Yeah. I think it's a really nice scene towards the start where he says to him, I'm going to retire.
Yeah.
And when we get to London, I'm going to sign the boat over to you. And like, Dalmatian doesn't even really say anything.
No.
In that scene.
Because he's a bit heartbroken. He's
heartbroken. This is like his friend. It's probably like his father, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
But like the acting, it just makes you think so much that it's just not about words.
Right.
It can be, and words can be great, and dialogue is a beautiful thing, but when you don't need it and you can still... There are multiple moments in this movie where characters don't say things.
Yes.
That I imagine at some point in this script were probably in there and they just get ripped out because they're not needed.
And this is the thing where, like, it's so easy when writing a script to overwrite the dialogue.
Especially as a writer because you sometimes have this fear in your mind, oh, whoever takes it on board is going to fuck it up. So you've got to overdo it so they know exactly what emotions
you want.
This has been pared back for the most part. Towards the end, there's a few little bits that are a bit like Hollywood film sort of lines, I think. But there's a lot of moments where it's just like, I love the choices they've made there.
Yeah. And like the example Tom you gave before, he talks about like, oh, it would have been great. It's basically that scene is to be like, hey, the captain's giving up hope, which is causing Dalmatian's character to also give up hope because until then he was holding on. He was one of the figures keeping everyone moving.
Yeah.
And then he goes out and then like there's this sort of interaction between him and our protagonist. But either they're like all that is like there's like two lines of dialogue between them. He goes upstairs. He's lost hope. And then our protagonist basically
he sees the guy with the fiddle and he says, should I bring something to the boy? And he just looks at him and he throws the fiddle away and he's like, what's the point? What's going on this shit?
Yeah.
Like just those three sections, there's like four bits of dialogue. There's like, I think two lines from there to this next bit you're about to talk about. Like, fuck.
Yeah. That's it. And so then then he talks to the protagonist and he basically gives him some backstory and like, and again, it's not like Dalmatian's going on like some big rant about his backstory and his life and how they compare and, oh, you're giving me hope. Like it's all of it is just giving exactly what it needs. And then the rest of it is coming entirely through the performance and through the context of what they're saying and their physical emotional reaction to it, which is like you said, I don't doubt that it's been in the works for 15 years. Yep. Definitely there's been a version at some point where it was overwritten and sucked. The version we got was really fucking good.
Dalmatian has this gorgeous moment too. It's near the end where they're talking about, all right, we're going to have to sink the ship.
Mm.
And it's like you see it on his face. He does have dialogue and it's great dialogue.
Yeah,
where he's
just
like, this is my home. Like, I'm not going to let you do this. He really hits hard on the home. I'm like, he's a fucking hell of an actor who I imagine because of the way he looks, and we talked about this in Boogeyman, where he has that sort of villainous sort of look to him, that sort of creeper thing. He's great for horror movies.
Of course.
It's probably held him back from having the kind of roles that his acting ability deserves. I think he's fantastic.
Yeah. But
for me, he's probably the standout in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of me knew that he had this in him, but I guess I just haven't seen
he's
it
always
properly
been
before.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But again, because he's always cast as the villain, you're like, okay, but villains are inherently interesting.
He's normally big, right? They normally rely on him to sort of act it big. And this time he's gone quite insular and it's just, it makes it sing. It's perfect.
Mm.
It's interesting. Like the other thing that I think he does a good performance in, which is a really weird choice that I'm now about to say it out loud, but in the Suicide Squad remake of Suicide Squad, who plays Polka Dot Man.
Mm. Yeah.
And he plays it like, he's not big. He's here the whole time in a movie stacked with people. Like, you've got Margot Robbie, playing Harley Quinn, so she's up here.
Yeah.
You've got the big Driss, he's up here. You've got John Cena, he's up here.
Mm.
And David's just like humming along here.
No, yeah. He's great at. He finds the humanity in being an outcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
good. He's a good at being a weirdo, and this boat is full of weirdos, and he's yeah. just, he's delightful in this. I think it's one of those things where, like, Clemens is clearly the hero
mm.
role. He's the one who survives and gets through it and whatever. And you see him early on.
Yeah.
We connect with him quickly. We understand what he's going through. He gets a lot of stuff to do, and we're kind of him.
Mm.
But I think he has nice layers, but none of his layers work if he doesn't have Wojciech and the captain right. to bounce yeah. off and
absolutely.
The rest of the yeah. crew to work with.
Yeah.
They really give a shit. It's that aliens thing. Mm. We talked about being alien on a boat, but that's that aliens thing in the second film where you get that 15 minutes just to get to know all of the Marines.
Yep. Yeah.
And so by the time they get to the planet, you're like, great, cool. I don't yeah. want any of these people to die. Or I do, and yeah. I want this one to die first, and I don't like this one.
Yeah, yeah.
Which we kind of get with Petrovsky in this. We're yes, like, okay, yeah. you're a piece of shit and a racist. You can go.
Yeah, yeah. But again, with these sorts of movies, like any movie, but definitely I think these movies where it's contained, we kind of already know what the plot's going to be for yeah. to a large degree. The characters literally make or break the movie, right? And for this one, like all the characters definitely served their role in the movie, but all of them also had a little bit more than that. Like they were all a bit deeper than that. Even like the racist one, because yep. up until we'd sort of seen him with his friend, he had his like best mate on the boat. So you kind of got a bit of that. You saw them outside of that one thing that made them, I guess. Same for like the chef who's pretty religious.
Yeah.
And so he, there's sort of like, we don't have any like straight villains other than of course, our man Drac. The others
do you need another villain?
Right. Mm. Yeah, definitely not. The others are just like flawed humans in an impossible situation. And so their worst parts come out and then they become sort of these antagonistic characters.
Yeah.
But I love that we get the time, like for the chef character, we get a nice little introduction to him where he's in the kitchen. He gets introduced to our new guy. I keep blanking on his name.
Clemens.
Clemens. Thank you. Yeah. Dr. Clemens. And basically like kind of gives him his three rules. The last being don't use the Lord's name in vain or I'll throw you over the boat. And the boy's like, he means that one. And he's like, I mean all of them.
Yeah.
And it's kind of playful. It's kind of nice. Yeah. And then like, there's this ongoing joke about like, I believe in St. Christopher, I think. No.
St. Nicholas.
St. Nicholas, because otherwise the chef would feed me. So it's kind of like playful and good. And then when he has his hard turn, you're like, yeah, it tracks because he's overly religious. But then also you're like a little bit sad because he's, the worst part of him has come through when he's yeah. like abandoning the
and that
team.
Happens for, you know, a few of them, really.
Exactly.
That's why
yeah.
when I wrote my one, that's what I loved about the story is like you're in this claustrophobic environment mm. that you can't escape. And then what happens to men when they're suffocated by fear.
Right.
And like you said, we see sort of their worst parts.
Yes.
I think this is a great movie for anybody to watch when they want to, when you have an outcome that is unavoidable and yes. you know that everyone's going to die.
Mm.
How do you make people care about what's yeah, happening anyway?
Yeah.
And they just did that so well.
Yeah. And like also there are so many hero moments in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, and when I say hero moment, I don't mean action hero, like fucking, you know, doing some sick move and like
yeah, whatever. I'll give you one. Anna has a hero moment where she talks the captain down.
Yeah. Oh,
where he's aiming yeah. the gun at them yeah. and she says, you've got to make, you know, what happened to yeah. Toby mean something.
The line she gives where she's like, when he would drain my blood, a little bit of blood, dirt would get into the wound and
yeah.
fill it up.
Yeah.
That's what he's going to do to your memory of Toby. He's going yeah. to fill it with something awful. And you're like, he's going to take the thing you love and fill it with yeah. dirt, basically.
Incredible.
Yeah.
It's a great just, performance too. Great
she line. Doesn't waver. He doesn't waver. And she's like a powerhouse. I saw her in a film. She's mm. in an Australian movie by the Babadook director, Jennifer Kent, oh, called yeah. The Nightingale. Very good movie. Full heads up. It is a bleak, brutal fucking film.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's effectively an Irish prisoner convict in Tassie.
It's a revenge story, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. basically her partner gets killed, she gets assaulted, her baby gets killed,
mm.
and she teams up with like this indigenous kid whose family has also been brutalized by these British soldiers. And
sure.
she tracks them down for revenge. And the movie yeah. is basically, what is the cost of revenge?
Right.
I'll tell you now, boys. High.
Yeah. Yeah. Low. Yeah.
Oh, well, it's not good. Yeah. Yeah. So, but she's phenomenal in that. So seeing her in this in a very different role.
Yeah.
Which doesn't really talk for a lot of it. She's just like quietly
mm.
brooding. And then when she
and you're not sure if you can trust her for a lot of it either.
No.
Yeah.
And so when you get these bits where she gets to sink her teeth into them, so to speak, oh, it's powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like these hero moments, I'm trying to like think of how to define them beyond the sort of action hero moments. And I think it's when a character makes the harder choice at cost of themselves because they know it's the right choice.
Yep.
Something like that anyway. And yeah, you get a number of them throughout this movie. where they, again, they're in an impossible situation. They kind of even know that. And so even though you have, it's a great spectrum of, you have these characters who are showing their worst part of themselves. And up until then, we'd actually seen some of the better parts of themselves. So they're going on this negative arc, but then we get the rest of our characters actually going the other way. And they get these little moments of hero moments of their being their best self in that moment.
Yeah.
And it doesn't change the situation. And hope is still pretty fucking low, but goddamn, you give a fuck about humanity when you're seeing people be their best version of themselves.
That's the key to it.
Yeah.
The complete darkness, and can any of the light shine through? That's, and like, it, you get brother. It from pretty early on with Clemens. Basically, everyone's pressuring him. The woman, let's throw her overboard.
Yeah.
She's diseased. Almost immediately. She's, probably infected. Yeah. Let's get rid of her. And he's like, no, I won't fucking do that.
Yeah.
And he puts himself on the line for her.
For sure. Yeah.
And he doesn't know her. All that is just a decision by a kind man who wants to protect someone else.
He's a doctor. Do no harm.
Yeah. And like, it's the right decision ultimately.
Absolutely.
Yeah. For many reasons.
It ties back beautifully the whole film. I think we did this when we were at uni together. We did that whole thing where they talked to us at uni about how, like, there's a scene in the movie where you get, like, the whole movie kind of laid out for you, or the crux of the film.
Yeah.
And this one happens really early, I think, for me anyway, where they are discussing what they're going to do with the extra money for arriving on time.
Yeah.
And they ask Clemens. And he's like, I don't really want money. That's what I'm after. I need to understand why things the way they are. And he says a line about why in a world that is full of such good, there is not that. And that is effectively what happens on this boat. Why in a world where we are good men.
Yeah.
We are good. We're a good crew. The captain isn't an asshole. The crew does love and care for one another.
Yeah.
We have compassion. We have love. There is this thing that is the antithesis of all of that. It uses and it feeds. That's all it does.
100%.
How do you handle that? And that's basically what the movie tries to answer over the course of it, which is, how do you handle it? Well, you fucking...
Yeah. And I love when a movie... I personally love it. It's definitely not for everyone's taste, but I love it when a movie literally at some point, definitely not the start, should never be our first line, but at some point states the theme, like, pretty concretely, so you can go, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, give your audience enough time to sort of start putting those pieces together themselves, and then when they hear it, it really rings true. And the other thing I like about that is that it's a question, where for me, a theme should always be a question, never a statement. You're exploring something. That's why we tell stories. We're trying to find answers. It's not that we think we know the answers and we're preaching them at people. Those movies suck.
Yeah.
It's when we're asking a question, we're showing our findings, we're showing what we think, we're sort of putting the question to our characters that we've created, and then we're seeing what the outcome is, and that's great. That's sort of one answer to that question, but of course someone else could take that question, do a different movie, and come up with different answers. That's fine too, because it's all about exploring the question rather than giving answers. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the question of this movie is, boys? What can men do against such reckless hate?
I think ride out and meet it.
Oh!
Now, I wish this did better at the box office because I would actually watch a sequel with Clemens teaming up with, like, an older Van Helsing.
Honestly,
just Dracula. Yes. Demeter 2, Dracula.
Yeah. Well, but yeah, basically Dracula, but with
this, Clemens with in this there.
Doctor in there.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm liking this. The final bit with him, you know, we're hearing his voiceover and his sort of...
He's going to go to the Abbey and confront Dracula.
Yeah, and I kind of love this new character they've invented because you believe it. We've seen what's brought him here. And we know why he's doing this. In fact, he already had the burning desire anyway from the scene you just mentioned where he asked that question. Mm-hmm. So now he's going to see, like, he's the perfect, they've really built this perfect character who has all the drive and reasons necessary to pursue this thing to the ends of the world.
Yeah.
That's strong stuff.
Man, I want that movie.
Yeah.
Or a TV show.
Yes, I'll take that.
I think it's because the reason he's doing that and the thing that drives him that makes me excited to want to see that part of the story next. Because normally, like, I would very happily watch this and be like, great, wonderful, that's the end. I really enjoyed it. I don't need to see another one because it's just Dracula.
Yeah.
But I do want to see Clemens Dracula because he has that great speech where he's talking about that he's going to convince Rorschach to help him destroy the thing. Yeah. Where he says that line about, I'm going to show it that I'm not afraid of it. Mm. Like that it is a beast and just it is an animal and everything like that. That's what it is. And I'm going to remind it that. And then when he goes, and then I'm going to kill that cursed thing. And it's like, that's it. You're going to send it back to hell, baby.
Yeah.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's R-E-B-A-G.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
All right, boys. Were we scared?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is fucked.
Looks yuck.
It looks real yuck. And then they, from pretty early on, it's like, here's a good look at it.
Yes.
But they tease it out in the sense that every time you get a look at it, for probably the first five or six times, it's a different part of its body or a different angle.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
You see it front on, you see his face really quite early.
Yeah. See a little bit of its mound.
See his back. You see his mound.
You definitely see.
He's Ken.
You fill in the blanks of a cock.
He's a Ken doll. He's me. He also watched the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. He watched his own movie. He read the script. That's actually an actor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
His real body.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. In the script, it says he has a 10-inch hog, but he doesn't.
He got blown right off.
The actor who plays him is, I think, one of your most watched actors.
So this
he appears in a lot of horror movies.
Yes. Yeah, so this guy, Javier Botet, is
okay.
His name. Or Javier. I'm going to say Javier.
Javier, yeah.
And so at one point, I think a couple of years ago, he was like my second most watched actor because he just plays a lot of like creatures because he's really tall and quite lean.
Right. So he's the next Doug Jones.
Well, so he's in Crimson Peak. He plays all of the ghosts, the skeletal creatures.
Because Doug Jones was also in Crimson Peak. Was that right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think Doug Jones
maybe,
is definitely.
Yeah. But yeah, okay. Botet's in that. He's in, I think he's in Slender Man. I think he's in the skeleton.
Right.
That skeleton man one, what did we watch? The thin man?
The empty man.
The empty man.
Right.
He's in that. He plays apparition. He's in so many things.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance he might eventually, if we keep watching Creature Features, he's going to become my most watched
Number
actor.
Number one.
That's pretty good.
Number one.
Well, I'm going to get him up. I'm going to see what
else
he's done.
That's why he does it. That's why he's in the game.
Yeah. So yeah, this design, like you said, we actually see quite a bit of it. And we continue to see quite a lot of it because it's really fucking gross.
Yeah.
And they want to be like, look at this gross creature we made. Get a good
screen. Yeah, they're proud of it. There's the occasional bit where it is a little goofy.
Yep.
Like when the chef's getting away on the boat and he just sort of lands on it. There's a few little goofy moments. But for the most part, it looks horrific.
Yes.
And it's a cool enough design that every time you see it, it's still pretty interesting to look at.
And I was thinking about this because we've talked about this for a few other monsters where if they keep changing.
Yeah.
That initial fear continues because you don't know what the next iteration will be. And that's not really the case with this one, but it does keep changing.
There is evolution.
Yeah.
I mean, at a certain point, he has wings.
Yes, and then at a certain point, right at the end, he's looking slightly more human.
Well, his pupils get colour.
Yeah.
And he just starts to grow a nose as he sort of looks over his
shoulder. It's really nice. Again, it's good world building and lore building and all that sort of stuff. I really enjoy that.
So I'm just looking at my man Javier.
Javier.
I have seen so many of his movies, and so have you. So he's in It Part 1 and 2.
Okay,
I think he just plays like a ghoul creature in that.
Yeah.
He's in The Revenant.
Okay.
He's in The Conjuring 2. He plays the giant creepy clown thing that attacks
that's the worst
kid in
thing.
The tent.
Yeah.
He's in Crimson Peak. He's in all three Wrecks. He's in His House.
Fuck. His House was so good.
This guy has tormented us, the three of us specifically.
Yeah. He's in Demeter. He's in Empty Man. He's in Sean. He's in The Mummy with Tom Cruise.
Oh, I thought you were going to say True Blood.
No, I'm on Letterboxd. I'm on an IMDb. He's probably in a bunch more stuff.
Shit,
far out. Oh,
yeah, you're too powerful, brother.
That's a really impressive career.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't go on IMDb for a specific reason.
Yeah, so I have a little IMDb fact.
Give us the juice.
That I found. So
I'm a detective in training.
Thank you. Yeah, this is me trying to earn my way back into the IMDb detective agency. So yeah, I was doing my usual show notes, scanning through IMDb, found a juicy little fact, asked you boys, do you mind staying off IMDb and so I can share this in episode?
It was hard, I will say.
That was a big ask.
That was a big ask for Tommy Boy.
And for me, because I remember that I have a badge.
Yes, you've got a badge. Yeah. So, you know, thank you for the respecting
my
request.
It's like putting a problem gambler in a casino and being like, you're not allowed to spend any money.
Yeah.
I'll kill your
whole
family.
That reminds me, I forgot about my badge. I got to go onto our Skitty Boy shop and buy myself an IMDb Detective t-shirt.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
I
gotta
wear that thing with pride.
Earn it.
As you all can.
Yes. As all the listeners can. Yeah. You're the titular IMDb Detective. So, yeah. So, I'm on the trivia page. I'm scanning through the trivia page. See just a little bit of trivia. The trivia is, this movie has almost the same title as Dracula, The Last Voyage of the Demeter, 2017, a one-act Australian play written by Sean Carney.
Shut the fuck up.
The play's idea was originally presented on the podcast Movie
what
Maintenance,
the
where the idea of a full-length film aboard the Demeter is discussed.
What the fuck?
Hang on. Who
writes these?
They've got 18 thumbs up, brother.
What the fucking hell? I gotta check this.
I am in the trivia.
Hey Siri, call mum. Shit, it's doing it.
Wow.
I am just flicking through. All right, I'm scrolling. Holy shit, 18 out of 28 found this interesting. Has almost the same title, a one-act Australian play.
Written by our boy, Sean Carney.
When Mr. Carney talks about his dream of casting for his adaptation, which included Viggo Mortensen.
Yes, it did.
Holy shit.
I know.
I am so glad you kept that from us.
Yeah, thank you.
Wow. That, I haven't found it yet.
I will say also, just looking through the credits, the Demeter, like the Last Voyage of the Demeter. Okay. Interesting. On IMDb, it has the title Dracula Voyage of the Demeter, and then underneath it, Last Voyage of the Demeter, brackets, original alternate title.
Yes.
Okay. One thing that's very interesting to me is that looking at the credits before with our friend Javier, he is credited as Dracula / Nosferatu.
Oh, that is
actually what he's...
I mean, the design is very Nosferatu-esque.
Well, yeah, I was in the trivia there that they designed it, the director and the monster designer really went after that Count Orlok
look. Oh, sick. Yeah, it's a great look. It's a great look.
Yeah, I love it when they go this, because I also, we'll talk about this too, that they take, he's not a vampire, because they don't call him a vampire. He's literally the devil. He is the evilest thing in the world. He doesn't have two teeth. He's not sexy.
Yeah.
He's not doing like sexy dances. There's no There's none of that going on.
That's blowing my head off. I'm just sorry. I'm
just looking at his phone. Yeah.
18 thumbs up, 10 thumbs down.
Look, I did hide that from you. The one above it has 17 thumbs down. So I think you're doing all right.
Who's giving thumbs down to trivia?
I don't know.
Sorry, the one that got 17 thumbs down, the wolf head cane Dracula carries is a reference to the cane used by Lawrence Talbot in The Wolfman, 1941. Why are 17 people angry about that?
I have no idea.
Or maybe they're like, this isn't true. Maybe they don't care. No,
maybe it's just they're not. Yeah.
The question isn't good or bad. It asks you if the trivia is useful.
So do people just submit those, do they?
I get, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Well, whoever submitted
I'm putting it out there. Well, I imagine the person who submitted that, there is a chance they're listening to this.
I think, yeah.
Let us know.
Shout out to you.
Let us know.
Yeah. Legend.
You've made Sean's day. You made my day. When I stumbled across that 3 days ago, I was like, fuck. That's huge. I'm really proud of my boy.
Sean, to know you've made it.
I am an IMDb detective and I'm on IMDb.
Can I also say, when we were loving this movie, I'm like, this only gets better. Because if you were in the trivia of a shit movie, you're like, that's not nearly as satisfying.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's pretty good stuff.
Awesome. Thanks whoever did that.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks guys.
Nah, she wouldn't know how to work a computer. Yeah,
come on. all right. Did our characters act wisely or foolishly?
You know what I thought while watching this? I thought the captain was a fairly passive sort of character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He really took a step back on any sort of hard decision making.
Yeah.
Outside of, allowing for the woman to survive.
Right.
He didn't make a lot of genuine decisions. Yeah. It really does fall on the doctor.
For the decisions the captain did make, quite often they weren't great. Him with his grandson, when they're about to throw his dead body into the water, he's like, no, he moved. Let me see him. And then
grief and he's just lost about it.
For sure. But
horrific.
That was real.
I think
bad.
It was you were saying, so we pull the sheet back and I think you're like, this is the main movie.
We see a very dead grandson.
Very dead, and then opens his eyes and they're completely white and it's fucked. And then you kind of forget, oh yeah, the sun. And then boom, catches fire. And there's a shot, I don't know if you saw it, but it's basically when they wrench him free from the captain.
Right.
The boy's skin, burning skin, is stuck to the captain's burning hands. It's disgusting.
Well, that's what the black sludge is on his hand.
Oh, I thought that was his skin.
No, his skin's red.
You watch it, it's very quick, but you see it sort of peel off the boy.
So he literally has his dead grandson's skin fused into his.
Yeah, it's horrific.
That's fucking brutal, mate.
Yeah.
Just while we're on that, so he makes some dumb choices.
Yeah.
While we were watching the movie, I said, boys, I need to mention something when we discuss this movie because it's something that is – they made a dumb choice.
Uh-huh.
Their plan is fucking shit.
Do you expect it to be good, though?
No. The captain suggests a really good one.
Yeah, what does he suggest?
He's going to turn the boat out into the ocean.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't keep heading towards England. Turn the boat around and get in the lifeboat.
Yeah.
Sail away.
Yeah.
Just float it out to the ocean and then, like, sink it.
And set on fire.
Like, burn it to the... Do something.
What do they actually want to do? Because, the captain wants to turn it around and take it out into
the
ocean.
They want to sink the boat with him trapped on it.
Yeah.
They get, for me, too close to London for that to even be a factor. Because we've already seen that he can fly.
Yes.
Like,
that's true.
Yeah, it will be a major pain in the ass for him to lose all his dirt.
Mm.
They probably should have come. I guess they just don't know. If they, in their mind, were like, that dirt's crucial to him. Let's just get rid of it all.
But the captain's even preparing, once they've done the thing, he's like, I will sail far away from a port and then you guys escape. Yeah. Just do that then.
You know what I would have loved if that's, because that's a great plan from the captain. The captain goes down with the ship, all of that. And this is his home.
Yeah.
If Dalmatian said to him, I'll come with you.
Mm.
That would have been nice, I think, because it's the only home he's got.
Yeah,
the boat.
That's it. As well as, like, as soon as they go, we've got to sink the boat. Immediately do it. Like, don't wait. Like, where they seem to wait until nighttime. Like, I don't know. Unless I miss something.
They want to trap him.
But what does that mean? Like,
they don't know where he is because he's not been returning back to the dirt coffin.
Yeah.
Because that was my first thing. Like, oh, well, you know where he sleeps, but they don't. He hasn't been going back there.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, well, they need to wait for the night to lure him out. But I would then be like, okay, well, we just need to get as far away from London. Because he lands.
Yeah.
Like, they do, again, they improvise really well. She pins him to the mast. Perfect, wonderful. Yeah. She assumes he'll run aground. He's got magic Dracula powers.
Yeah.
We know, again, we are dealing with, of course, a story that we know. So we know he has to get to London.
Yeah.
So outside of that, but if you just take that actual story meta-textualness over the top of it.
Yeah.
Just in terms of a plan, ship plan, go out to the ocean.
Yeah. That's the thing. He's picking you off one by one because he actually needs people to still steer the ship.
Yes.
That's a chilling turn of phrase too when he's like, she's like, yeah, he's running. She's like, he's not running, he's rationing.
Yeah.
Like the reason you are still alive is because if he kills all of you in one night, where's he going
to
eat?
Yeah, it's horrible for the guys to just be like, we are just rations for a monster. But yeah, no, you're right. Like, going out into the open water would be the perfect thing.
Yeah.
And I guess the only thing you would say, though, this Dracula seems to get in people's head and he can be quite suggestive and whatnot. So if it's just him and the captain left, right, he could just convince the captain. Now that the, you know, because Anna talks the captain out of it.
Yeah.
Because in his mind, Dracula's going to bring Toby back.
Mm.
All I've got to do is get the ship back there.
Yeah.
If it's just the captain and Dracula, eventually the captain will be like, you're right, Dracula, I will turn the ship around. Yeah,
hit me out. Do the plan you were going to do, but sail away from England.
Yeah.
And do it further away from shore.
Mm.
Like, use the day to just turn around and then lifeboat it.
I don't even know the lifeboat thing will work, though, because he's got wings. He'll just fly and latch onto the boat, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Like, part of me just thinks all of you guys have got to go down for, you know, the greater good almost.
Yeah, honestly, they should have just had some dynamite on board and blown the whole thing up.
Yeah,
that might have been the only way.
Yeah.
It's weird that they don't really consider fire when they've watched other people who have the blood infection burn.
Mm.
Like, why doesn't any of them go, let's set him on fire?
Yeah, right. Because we've seen multiple people burn up in the sun.
Yeah.
Or even like, yeah, how can we pin him into the sun?
But because we are approaching this with like vampire knowledge.
Yeah,
that's true. They don't have that. I don't even know vampires are a thing. This is just a devil that's drinking blood. And
he's just the most evil man in Romania.
Yeah.
And Tom, you had a great call. There was one point where we mentioned that, like, all of his bite marks are this like ring of teeth, because that's definitely what he's got.
Yeah.
And you mentioned it kind of looks like a lamprey.
Yeah.
And like, it really does. And even when he like feasts on them, the way he sort of suckers his whole fucking face.
And
to
also
it,
the claws, like using the, like, yeah, when he attacks that guy,
Trotsky, I think.
Trotsky, when he attacks him, it takes all of his strength to slash his throat, and then he's crawling towards him like some like weak.
He's hit his creature. He's weakened, and then he's got that explosive little burst to get him, and then he still has to like crawl up him.
Yeah.
We were talking about scares before. The design of that's horrific. It's almost like this puddle of blood on Petrovsky's neck that is like flowing up. It was really well done.
Yeah.
It's like he's drowning in his own blood.
Yeah.
Which
I
guess he would be.
Yeah. Right. And You can't help but see this thing. And even if you're not doing it consciously, you're seeing Dracula going, parasite. That is just a fucking disgusting little parasite who can only live off other things.
Yeah. Oh, and can't remember the character's name. It's the one who gets infected and they don't do the blood transfusion.
Yeah, yeah.
And he, it's like Toby's hiding in the room and it is essentially like the scene from The Shining.
Right. Yes.
Except he's using his own head instead of an axe to break through the door.
Oh, my God, yeah, yeah.
And it's disgusting.
And then how many times, like, and they use it to good effect, but how many times in the first couple of acts do we just see, like, you're sort of seeing a scene and then at some point you click, oh, Dracula's fucking crouched down over there.
Yeah,
his
yeah.
skinny little white
Or just like some
buns.
Weird, like... Like, he stands in rooms like, Mum, I just threw up. That's his. That's the energy that he brings.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. All right, boys, how would we do in this situation?
I think we're so fucked.
We don't have any vampire knowledge.
No.
We've got to be the same knowledge as these guys.
Yeah, just crew boys.
I think then we come up with our better plan of we just have to go down with the ship and Dracula.
Yeah, I like that.
Do we have anything on the ship where we can just blow it up? Like,
I think we have the same boat.
I mean, yeah, we've got what they've got. I do think...
There's petrol on the boat. When he's going through the items, he's like, 10 things of petroleum and 50 miscellaneous crates.
Well there you go. We wait until it's daylight.
Yeah.
And then we burn the boat because then eventually he'll have to come out of the boat because it's burning. He won't have anywhere left to hide. Yeah. He'll come out in the sun. He'll burn. Yeah. And then maybe we can jump off into the water.
It's worth a shot.
We survive. There's lifeboats. Yeah.
If we chuck like lifeboats and any other sort of floating things, like
actually that is literally the key because I was thinking during the movie, I'm like, just get in a lifeboat during the day and go. Right. But then at night, he'll come out and find you.
Yeah.
So destroy the boat, set it on fire, and then sail away.
Yeah.
He will have to come out of the boat because it'll burn him.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, and then the sunlight will take care of him.
Yeah.
And then hopefully a little rowboat.
You still
got
a boat on water.
It.
I've seen. That's how wars happen.
Yeah,
back
exactly
in the day.
Right. Yeah.
That's how Napoleon lost or won.
Plus, as well, as soon as there's holes in the bottom of the boat, it's going to sink. Like, so even if the fires do eventually go out, still get hit in the bottom of the ocean at some point.
Have the rifles with you on the boat, and if by some chance he starts flying towards you, just pray that you can hit him in the wing.
Right.
Little midnight holes massing. In the wing. Midnight
bang,
massing.
Bang, bang.
Yes. Yes.
It's doable if you blow the boat up.
Yeah, I think
during the daylight
you need to be willing to make that sacrifice and you need to do it early.
Oh, we don't give a shit about the boat.
Yeah.
Get on the lifeboat, set it on fire, and then just be like, all right, mate, you want to come out and face the sun? That's you.
That's your deal, bud. Yeah.
Have fun in hell, big boy.
So I think we could get there. I think we need to get there pretty quick.
How many crew members do we have to kill to get away with our plan? Because a lot of those boys love that. That's their home. That boat.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's
true. But if they know that he's on it, even if it's just the last day, rather than do the plan if we're going to seal the boat up, no, we're going to set it on fire and roll away.
Yeah. And get as far. And like, even this is where I think for the big crates of dirt, whether they know that that's what he needs that or not, like toss it overboard so you can move faster as you head back into the ocean, right? Like, so that's where I think, if we're thinking along those lines of we've got to lose weight so we can get as far away from England as we can, then we're going to get rid of his dirt. So we can't even use that as any kind of protection. We've got rid of the boat. He's
set on fire. Yeah. We roll away. We watch it burn. We go to England. And we have a beautiful time.
We have some great ales.
Oh, no, it's not Shakespeare times.
We meet Jonathan Harker.
Yeah.
He's Keanu. He's got a bad accent. We love him anyway.
We meet the Kush, probably.
We meet Hopkins. He does some magic tricks and appears and says, I'm famished. Feed me.
Fuck, we got to rewatch that movie.
I think I gave. I don't think I gave it the respect it deserves.
I definitely did.
You definitely didn't, Tom. You piece of shit.
And what's worse? I get why Damo wouldn't have.
Yeah.
But it feels particularly egregious for me based on the things that I get.
I thought I could count on you, man, and you let me down.
It's all vibes, brother. It's all cooked vibes.
Yeah. Sean, I can come back.
It's the only time you've let me down in my entire life.
That feels incorrect.
Probably.
But I'm split. Hey, we all get one a year.
That's all right.
That's
I feel like in that I threatened to banana split your head open, so we're probably even.
You threatened to kill me at least once a week.
That's love.
Friendship, baby. Yeah.
It's true. I love you too.
Yeah. Turn the mic off so I can tell him I love him.
Well, that is all the scary talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
And I've been Tom.
You fucking idiot.
My brother just
We're
sent
so
me,
close.
My brother just sent me a message, okay?
If you scary listeners like this show would like to have us out, you can. It's very easy. You can just have it at patreon.com/scaredyboys where you can become one of our beloved patrons. We have two tiers. You can be a cowardly custard, or you can be a brave babe, depending on where you sit on the scaredy scale. Both tiers get exactly the same thing. We just want to know whether you're a coward or a brave babe.
Just want to check in. You're cowardly custard, Damo.
Oh, big time,
bro. Tom, cowardly custard?
I think I'm a brave... I'm a cowardly custard.
Yeah, three serves of cowardly custard, please.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. There's tons of great stuff over there. Please do check it out. Otherwise, you can leave us a review of your listeners. That really helps us a lot and makes us feel very special. Or you can send us an email at 3scaredboys@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at @SkeddyBoysPodcast or on Twitter at @SkeddyBoys. Or individually, I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
I'm at Awkward Treat.
Stay scared, everyone.
I'm a Ken doll. This movie blew my fucking dick off.